The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and workable, wondrous and somewhat witty, wacky and willing to walk it Wednesday as we share about the greatness of our Heavenly Father, the greatness of being His kids, and the greatness of our eternal relationship. First up, not every brother and sister are the exact same. Don't know if you've noticed that or not. In truth, no two brothers or sisters are the exact same unless they're twins. We have different triumphs than one another, and we also have different trials. We'll talk about that. Next, run, Forrest, run. Keep me running, running on empty. Baby, I was born to run. There sure is a lot of stuff about running, and I wonder why. We'll look into that as well. And finally, how long does it take us to come to our senses? Are we quick to get it, or do we linger a little long in the one brick short department? Come, let us reason together.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Wait till you hear what happened today. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, if you want to call us, you can do that. It's the phone. There's 10 digits. There will be no shock for you on the other end. It will be fantastic. And if you call, Terrific T will answer the phone. And it'll be just like going to Marie Callender's, getting just a fresh baked apple pie. Wow. Right until you get to me.
With whipped cream.
With whipped cream. Any ice cream on that?
Oh, of course.
Of
vanilla.
Of course there's ice cream. All right, so that's if you call 972-445-0770. Just trying to make it hard for Eric. The food thing. Also, if you want to text in, you can do that. 214-210-8483. The text, now remember, people, they mix these up a lot. So the 214 is the text. The 972 is the calling in. Just making sure we got that straight. We do that for prayer requests, for praise reports, any kind of question, any type of comment that's classy, that's normal, that we would, you know, appreciate. Nothing neg. We don't let that negative, like, everything, woe is me, it's my birthday. Okay, that's really not, you don't need that. Okay, and I'm not trying to be an overly positive guy. We just don't need that with all the other stuff that's already negative. So you don't have to add to the pile. That's kind of where I'm going with that. Here's the other thing, though. The big thing we do a lot is trivia. For those that don't know, I got a chance to meet with Coach yesterday. I'll talk about that in the next segment before we do the setup for Texas Air King, which was a very, very good meeting. And then in a second, I'll tell you some of the results of my meeting with Don. But first, let's make sure we get the first trivia question in. This is really easy, though none of us seem to ever do it. On the seventh day of creation, what did God do? On the seventh day of creation, what did God do? And actually, it shouldn't say on the seventh day of creation. It should just say on the seventh day. So that's my fault. I just caught that error in the book. Uh-oh, that could be trouble. All right, keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. The reason is it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, so that was a pretty easy first question. We got a lot of people texting in. And we have somebody who's calling in, and I think they're going to be ready to jump on board. And we like that. That's part of the fun of all that we do. So do we have somebody that wants to answer the trivia question? Yes, right now, this I already know who this is calling in. That's how funny this is. This is where we're like that. I will tell you that yesterday's meeting on both fronts, both with Coach and with Don, went very, very good. And by that, I mean Coach is a great guy. And we're not going to do, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to fake promote. I'm just so tired. We're going to really tell you, hey, this is what's going on. This is what he's offering. This is what we're doing. And we want you to do it because he's going to be a blessing for the show. And we hope the show is a blessing for him. That's how it's going to go. And we think that's the way to go about it. So when he has something going on, he's going to do a little thing where, you know, if somebody gets a system through him, and not just service, but a system, he's going to give a discount back to any ministry. And we're just talking about these things. Nothing's in cement, but I have a feeling it's all going to work out perfect because we stand by one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay. Okay, are we about ready to have this person on? Okay, here we go. So we're gonna have the person answer the question. Pretty simple question. Here we go. When I'm waiting for the ring, she's getting a chance to get the ring. Keep in mind, for T, by the way, she has 1,000 sound elements that she's got to work with, so that's not always easy. Okay, so here we go. All right. There it is. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Ronnie.
I knew it. I knew it because she was laughing back there. I just know that's got to be Ronnie. That's what I went with right off the bat. All right, my friend. Let's nail this down. Now, this I caught this in the book. As I'm reading it to everybody, it says, on the seventh day of creation, God did what? And the problem there is that there wasn't technically 7 days of creation. So what happened on the seventh day?
He rested.
That's correct, sir. That is something we are terrible at, I would say. We're really bad at resting. Even on the day off, we're kind of poor at it, which is why I like Pastor Morris's book about, kind of giving an honor to that. But it wasn't really a day of creation as much as it was just kind of like a day of resting.
Okay, but I'm gonna throw a little tidbit in there if you don't mind.
Absolutely, my friend.
Okay, you remember when the Israelites, they were in the wilderness, and he told them, you know, it was one gentleman that was supposed, he didn't rest at all, but he was out there picking stuff up, you know, on that particular day. And he, if I'm not mistaken, and my mind serves me right, he got stoned.
Because he was working on the Sabbath day. That's right. He was doing stuff on the Sabbath day and breaching the commandment. And he got stoned, and not in the 20th or 21st century capacity. They stoned him. That is correct. That's right.
Hey, yeah. They really rocked him, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's so bad. I'm going to give you a prop on it. That was a good so bad one. Good job, Ronnie. You really rocked him.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go. But he didn't roll anywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm hanging up on you, okay?
Okay.
I'll talk to you, brother. Good job. Excellent job today. All right, Ronnie, that was so fun. Is that not fun? All right, so before we get into the teach, I probably should give everybody an update because there's a couple of serious, serious, serious things. So the first and good piece of news that I want to share with everybody that we have is that the show is going to carry on through 2021. So we think that's phenomenal, and we had a great meeting with Don and Sarah, and they are supportive of the show, and they love what we're doing, and they probably think I'm a little crazy. Yeah, maybe a little. And then it's working out really good. Now, I will throw this piece out at you just so that you can be aware, and it doesn't require anything from anybody except for prayer, but we have had a brief discussion on sometime in 2021 of moving the show from, it's 2 to 3 right now. We have discussed going from 1:30 to 3.
Yay!
So that would be 1:30 to 3. What does that mean? That there'd be an extra half hour of whatever? Yes, live. That's what it would mean. Does that mean the quality of the show would go down? I don't know. I hope not. That's my answer. Nice play. Very good. So we will keep you in touch with that and let you know what's going on. So be in prayer with that. Also, like I said, for Coach, we want to make sure to do Texas Air King good. They're helping out. And if that helps out and works out, we would be able to do that extra half hour. And I like that. So that's up to the Lord. The second thing I want to tell you, we'll get into the teaching next segment. I just have to unload on all this. The second thing I want to tell you is, and you'll have to help me out, but yesterday after we had a pretty good day, I'm driving home, and I don't know if you know this or not, but yesterday's traffic was all designed to stop David from getting home. Let me explain this to you. Normally, it takes me 45 minutes. It took me 1 hour and 55 minutes to get home yesterday. And then, because I love GPS so much, it tells you to go a different route, and it told me to go a different route, and I went. And I should have used more spidey sense than that thing. That added an extra 30 minutes. And then I had to go all the way around our house and come back the other way, and the freeway was blocked from the other direction. So the time I actually got home, I had just gotten home just before Noel normally gets home, and I was just thinking, I just know the enemy's trying to steal the joy, and all I'm going to say is, come here, Levi, time to feed you. I just let it go and just like moved on. So to give you an idea how serious our spiritual warfare is, that's the kind of stuff where it's just the enemy. You don't think much about this in our individual lives, but it's just the littlest things that Satan tries to do to rob the moments of the victories or the good things that do happen. And you don't think a lot about it, but it's the little foxes spoil the vine, the Bible says. And that means that the little foxes, they nibble at it, they nibble at it, they nibble at it, they nibble at it, just little things, little things, little things. And then eventually it cuts the fruit production and eventually it takes an impact. Don't let Satan or Satan's minions, which would be the world people that are influenced by him, or anything of that sort, take away your joy when the Lord gives you something that you are blessed by or that you're something that you're really encouraged by. The enemy doesn't want you and I to stay encouraged. He wants us to be discouraged. The answer to that, you might say, well, that's just traffic. I understand, but it came literally on the heel of literally getting in the car, you know, praising the Lord, sending out texts to people, letting people know, and praise the Lord. And then it was just like 2 hours of trying to get me frustrated. And I just wouldn't, almost miraculously, I just wouldn't complain. There's only one time he yelled at the car in front of me, which for me is a miracle. All right, when we get back, we got to get into teaching. So we're going to do the trivia on the later half because there's some very important things I want to talk about teach-wise. But please, please, please be in prayer on everything that we're engaging with right now. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local, and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, it was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, so we're going to kind of run, we're going to fly, we're going to drive by the seat of our pants. Okay, that's how we're going to do it. So I'm going to look to T to remind me with about 2 minutes left in the segment on the trivia, because we want to make sure to give all the props that we can to Coach and to Texas Air King. And I already have that trivia question mentioned out. But I want to get right into this teaching, because I want you to understand something that's important in regards to us and our Heavenly Father. So many times in the Christian walk, we think of God as maybe this huge gaseous kind of being that sits over, you know, planets and, you know, exists in that capacity. Maybe something you've seen from Star Trek or Star Wars or something, and you're like, you know, and we don't understand that the picture of our Father is exactly, as Jesus described it, a picture of a father. And I tend to think, because I had a tougher relationship with my dad, that I tend to think of God in less terms of him understanding me as a dad and more in terms of understanding me like just as a Lord or as a master. And it's important to have the balance on everything. So you don't just think of God as the Father. He is Lord. He is Master. He's all these things. All of them, not some of them. But this is for those of us that struggle understanding God as a father or as a compassionate person who loves us and cares about us, and that's where this is coming from. So let me just read it, and then we'll get into it. Luke 15:11, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, but here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Okay, and we're going to stop right there. So what I want you to catch on some of these things right off the bat is, you know that there's two sons involved in this story. One son ran away. One son stayed there and was faithful. Okay, can I just say this so you can understand that my brother and I love my brother, but he's a musician and I'm a person that does teaching. Okay, I've written some material, but he's written a ton of material. We are two Jewish boys who both became Christians within 30 days of each other over 40 years ago in a Jewish family. The first ones in our Jewish family, you'd think, man, these guys have got to be just alike. And that is like absolutely not true whatsoever. Him and I are completely different. He has got much more of a characteristic of a musician and an artist, and I am much more of a teacher and down that direction of a studious person. We are, in fact, very opposite. He has red hair. I have no hair. Okay, mine's by choice, but he has red hair. And my point about that is that we're different, and he goes through different trials than I go through, and I go through different trials than he goes through. It's not that my trials are easier or his trials are easier, and that's false. And anybody that thinks that doesn't really understand what's going on. The trials that you and I go through have a purpose, have a design, have an allowance for an intent, and that is to help us individually because we need that specific trial. The ones that frustrate you, those same trials in that same trial in another person's life might not frustrate them or challenge them the same way. And so it's important for you and I to understand that there's two sons in this story, and the father knows both of them and knows how to handle both of them. In verse 12, you see one son, he's seeking independence. And I want to talk about that because that's one of the key elements is in our nation, we're an independent nation. We're a very independent kind of people thinking. We don't think very we're not very tribal, we're not very family oriented. I'm not using tribal to give any political people benefits. I'm just saying we are a very individualistic, nuclearized kind of country, very different than many others. And in this case, that kind of thinking, when Jesus is talking about this, it's very unique. And the kid's like, I'm jamming, I'm out, I'm leaving. And what's most amazing about this story, and it's just a story, it's a parable, but it's most amazing is that in the story, Jesus says the father goes, okay. See, if my kid tried to take off when he was too young, I'd have cracked him in the head with a bat. I don't know what everyone else is thinking, but this is an accommodating father. And the biggest component about this, listen to this, is that God knows when to give us that space, even if that space is going to lead us right back. And he gives us that space. He goes, I'll give you the space. Yeah, you're going to find out. You're going to see what's going on. But see, what we do is we think, no, if we control it, we'll keep everything exactly the way it's supposed to be. And as a father, I recognize the older I get that how dumb I am as a father, that I don't even understand when to let go. And in this story, this parable, it's like there's the father's like he stands by the son. It's like, how do you do that? And then the kid runs, spends the money. I can guarantee you my father never would have given me my inheritance ahead of time. So had it eradicated, we're done. And so we run. And one of the reasons that people will run, or one of the reasons that we seek that independence, by the way, is because we're feeling disappointed or not safe. And I want to bring that point up because that's a big deal right there. Is the son is, you think, well, he's feeling his roots. He's going to go out there. He's going to, you know, jam on the world. But sometimes people run because they're just trying to cover themselves because they feel very uncomfortable in life. Psalm 55, verse 6 and 7 says, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. Sometimes we run because we're just afraid and we just don't want to hear anything, see anything, touch anything, and we want to be left alone. And it's almost like you just want to be there. And you know what? God knows that. Now, I'm aware this is not your normal teaching on the prodigal. Don't worry about that. But this applies to you. There's times where you need to let go, and that's for those parents that are super duper duper controlling. Or for that sake, that's for the children that are super duper controlling. Or for that sake, that's for friends that are super duper controlling, or Christians that are super duper controlling, or pastors who are super duper controlling. You got to stop that. And on the other hand, the other side of that, there has to be enough wisdom enough to know, okay, here's the space, figure it out. Now, God doesn't do that unaware of what we're going to do. He is aware of what we're going to do. He is aware of what's going to take place. And the whole story hinges on God's awareness of that. But I want you to understand that that's a normal process for human beings to run. And if you just think for a second, if just honestly, Look at how many songs. There must be 150 top 10 songs that have running in it. Just okay. So I want you to be aware of that. And we come back, I'm going to go into the trivia and we're going to talk about that. But I want you to think about that. Think about that. How many people have this desire to run? Why? Why do we want to run? Do you, are you afraid? Are you disappointed? Are you mad at God? Are you just frustrated with life? All right, we come back on the other side. We're going to deal with that. I want to get to the trivia and give coaches time due. So first and foremost, just think about that. Set that in your mind as we get ready to go to the next segment. This now, right now, we're going right into the trivia, and it's a pretty straightforward question for you. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they sinned? Now what? Now this is brought to us by Coach, and we're going to play that song. I want to talk about Coach a little bit. So go ahead and play his stuff.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
Okay, so this is a trivia question, and this is coming from Coach and Texas Air King. And the question is, what's the first thing Adam and Eve did after they sinned? Okay, there's two potential answers, and it syncs right in with what we're talking. So one of the things I've been talking about should be apparent. And so I want you to kind of dive into that. The second part of this is for you to understand that as a believer, you are still human. And you are still going through processes and emotions. And I understand you're the old man and the new man, but sometimes the old man trips you up a little. All right, let's take this call because the caller's got it for us. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, it's Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Okay, it's awesome to hear you. And I just, this is such a deep question connecting to this teaching that there's a couple of actual correct answers, believe it or not. So I want you to see if you can think about, you know, what is it that Adam and Eve, what did they do after they sinned?
Well, one of them was they sowed fig leaves.
That is correct. That is correct. There you go. And then what was the other thing that they did? After they did that, what is the other thing they did when God came running? When God came into the garden?
They ran and hid, right?
That's right. So see how that's so. There it is. That's what it is. We try and cover ourselves. Like that's the figs, right? That's the fig trees. The leaves coming together. And then we start jetting and running because we think that's also an answer.
That's right.
Exactly right. All right, well, that's excellent job. You did absolutely fantastic. I'm so thrilled with that. Great.
Well, thank you. God bless y'all.
All right, thank you so much. All right, folks, we're going to take our break and come back. See how cool that coordinated? Oh, I love it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, we're going to do our trivia, and then we're going to do the website. But I just want you to see this connection before I just don't want you to lose it. Make sure you stay connected to the last segment. See, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves. So they tried to take care of themselves by providing for themselves, getting their inheritance early. And then when God came in, they ran. And it's like, yeah, that's a lot like the prodigal son, isn't it? It's like, yeah, he tries to get his inheritance early, and then he runs. Mm-hmm. Wow, there's a connection that probably a lot of people aren't going to make. Let's make sure, and I do want to make sure of this, we're going to try and do something special for Coach and for Texas Air King, because I want to make sure that people know, if you've got something going on, they would be the ones to contact. And if you know some people that's got something that's going on, do that referral thing. Let them be a blessing to you and let them be a blessing to those other people. They're going to really work at it, working with us, and we're going to really, you know, we're going to really promote them in a bright and proper way. It's no, we're not going to go, it's hot, it's cold, you should do this, you should do this. Look, you need air work, man, this is the guy that's going to take care of you, period. He's taking care of us in the show, he's going to take care of you. Boom. And if he doesn't, you tell me. I have a feeling there'd be no problems with that. All right, so just remember Texas Air King. So let's get to the next trivia question. The next trivia question is, if you're ready for it, okay, here we go. How many days did it take Nehemiah to inspect the walls of Jerusalem before rebuilding them? We did this one not that long ago, and nobody got it. Only one person got it correct. And so if you think, well, why are you doing another one? Well, if you don't get it right the first time, got to try again. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget our website, because there's nothing that's going to happen no matter what if you guys don't support the ministry, period. Okay? I mean, I just had to, it's just, I don't even want to tell you what I had to pay for. Doesn't matter. Bottom line, help support us, but I don't want to be your primary. Okay, unless the Lord, you know, says that specifically to you. You know, we are there. If you've got funds to help support this ministry, we appreciate that. If you don't, we appreciate the prayers. Keeping it that simple. Here it is again. I'm going to say it again. How many days did it take Nehemiah to inspect the city walls of Jerusalem before rebuilding them? If you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. I guess I don't know. Do we have time for history? We kind of have time for history. We should be able to pull it off. All right, let's do a little history real fast.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
You never know that I was tired when I walked in here today, right? I didn't have any coffee, and just water. I did spend an extra hour reading a chapter that was really intense on theology. And after I read it and marked it all up, I looked at the syllabus from the class. I didn't need to read that chapter at all. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to smile. Today is National Apple Cider Day. Okay. We used to, in Detroit, Michigan, we were from Detroit. We had the Franklin Cider Mill. It was really good. And they had donuts and hot apple cider. And you went for school and you got out of school and you went and got, donuts and apple cider. It's like, how great is that? It's also Use Less Stuff Day. Then stop giving us more stuff to use, and we could maybe use less stuff. And then finally, it's push-button phone day. For those that remember push buttons, it's the same thing that you do on your phone now. Back in the day, it used to be, oh, that's still a push button. We got one there in the studio. Our studio is up to date, isn't it? The technology never ends.
Man, it's like this is out of this world.
We are advanced people. We are advanced people. How we keep the engines going here and all the motorized systems is we have three gerbils and a wheel. They just keep running.
They do. They just run nonstop.
They just run. So when there's a problem, therein lies the problem. 1307 on this day, according to legend, William Tell shoots an apple off of his son's head. If you are a parent, you will have to at least acknowledge that you've thought about that once or twice. Okay. And then I thought this was classic. Nobody else is going to appreciate this, but I thought that was classic. 1983 on this day, A Christmas Story. I mean, the movie A Christmas Story premieres with Ralphie, and he gets a Red Ryder air rifle. For those that remember that, it's a classic Christmas movie. I enjoyed it. That's okay. When a Jewish person enjoys a Christmas movie, you should really take note because it's highly unusual. See, for us, Christmas had much more to do with Hanukkah Harry than Santa Claus. So for us, it was pencils and socks. Okay? So becoming a Christian really changed that whole genre for me. All right, let's go back to the thing. Poor T. She's like, an hour and a half of this? I don't know. She's already thinking, I don't know. All right, so let's go back to this understanding about the kids. And what's important is to understand the father and the kids and the relationship to who we are and what we do. So a son seeking the independence, the running part, pretty normal. Even King David in Psalm 55, verse 6, made mention of running away and hiding out for a little bit, okay? And to be honest, sometimes running can seem like it's fun. It's certainly fun, but it's only seasonal. There's no lasting satisfaction. The reason that it's called the prodigal son is because the word prodigal means wasteful or futile, okay? And that all leads, we got somebody who's going to answer a trivia question. We're going to let them answer it. But that all leads to a very particular place that I want to talk about. Let's answer the trivia question, and then we'll answer it. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Alita. Is it 152 days?
Okay, so Alita, so that's a great, great answer. But here's what I want you to give me. Before that took place, what happened is there was kind of some reviewing of the walls, just sort of like checking it all out, okay? And so what's important about that to understand is Nehemiah walked around the city of the walls of Jerusalem before he went to the building part. We're looking for how long was it that he did the walking around, and let me give you some help, okay? In the Trinity, how many distinctive people are there?
Three.
That's it right there. You got it. Ding, 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 ding. So 3 days, Nehemiah walked around inspecting the wall. Just checking before anything happened. He's just going there kind of doing the observational route, checking it out, just seeing. And then he went into activity. But that is, just for you to call and do that, that is not only was that excellent, but it just shows you got your mind thinking in that process that rebuilding is God's declaration that I never abandon my people. No matter what they go through, I'm always with them. And that whole Nehemiah Ezra process is a definition to that.
And congratulations.
Oh, and thank you so much. And what a blessing it is for you to call in. And you're welcome to call in anytime. And if you're close, we'll get you there. And if you're right on target, we'll get you there. Either way, we'll get you there.
Well, I talked to T the other day, and I told her that I knew you would get good news because I listened to the Crawford Stand, and he used Oy Vey.
Yeah,
when
they used Oy Vey, right? It's like I was thinking, man, I should have said something, but I didn't. Just like that's hilarious that they use that because you know that probably came over here from the show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Well, God bless you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for calling in. Awesome! I love it. Okay, great job. Okay, so. It's real good news. Okay, there you go. I just want to make sure. All right, so let's go back to the sun. So here's the one thing I want to talk to you about, and this is really what I want to hammer home. So if you're one of those people, one of the people of God that seek to run, if you're one of those people that are trying to get your inheritance early, just doing all that process, all of that is not even that weird. Except there comes a point where that's it. And you get to this point in verse 17 where it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out to go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So he got up and went to his father. This is what I want to talk to you about. Ready? Coming to your senses. The scripture says, come, let us reason together. There comes a point where instead of trying to defend your actions, be it if you're a running son or daughter, or if you're a spending wild son or daughter, or if you're a parent still aren't trying to figure out how to parent, all of that process, there comes a point where you stop and you go, I need your help. And all that stuff you got going on that you're trying to, I'm trying to make everything fit in my box. I'm trying to control it this way. I'm trying to do it. It's like, stop it. Come to your senses. Just go to God. Instead of trying to make this overly complex and instead of trying to line up every person I've ever met who said I have all my ducks lined up inevitably has all of those same ducks blown apart by a shotgun from God. It's like just stop doing that. Just go to God. Because the peace, the rest, the safety is in him. It's never in the circumstance. It's in he who coordinates all of life. So stop trying to run it, control it, own it, dodge it, whatever it is you're doing, whatever direction you're going. Stop trying to be, you know, if you're not parenting the best you can, I get it. I totally get you. I'm totally there with you. It's a go to God, come to our senses answer. And that's what's so great about this story. So we come back, we just get that glimpse of how God responds to that attitude that we take. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running. Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to – not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Rocky and his friends, premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked the cartoon. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he's skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
On Christ the solid rock,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about September Glenn and livinginhisgrip.com. I heard from September, or Noelle did yesterday, and just want to keep them in prayer. She got some other tests coming up, but we're trusting and believing the Lord to bless her, but she's gotten through that whole operation thing. That's good. It's always good to get through that. Let's do our next trivia question. I like this one. This is a classic. There's a ironically, there is a correct answer, and then there's a personal application answer to this. Here's the question. Who asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Who asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Please do not forget, by the way, our website at HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so we have people calling in, we have people texting in, and here is the question that we're asked. Who asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And that was somebody asked him very specifically. And I think they're going to be answering that in just a second. We're going to finish up on this story. We ready? Okay. She's laughing again. I know what's going on here. And then the other part that I do want you to be aware of is, see, us praying about doing an extra half hour would mean I wouldn't have to rush half of this stuff. And if you knew how much, I just this is incredible. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello. David, this is Joy.
Hi,
Joy. I have an answer for you.
How are you? Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you. Well, the answer is Pilate.
That is correct. The answer is Pilate, John 18:33. He was the one who asked, are you the king of Jews? And that is a great question for all of us, isn't it? Is Jesus
yes,
the king of the
is.
Jews? Yes, he's the king of the Jews.
And can I just wish my beautiful sister Cordy a happy birthday?
Oh my goodness! Of course, I'll give you. I'll give Cordy my classic rendition when we hang up of "Happy Birthday."
That would be so fun.
She would. Just remember that you asked for it. Okay.
Okay.
Just so you can't get mad at me. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Awesome.
You. God bless you. We love you. Okay. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you so much, Joy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let me give a quick rendition for Cordy for happy birthday. Okay. Now, don't get upset here. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Cordy. Happy birthday to you. There you
Holy
go.
Jesus. What is that?
That's a classic rendition, isn't it? That's only one of them. There's another one. We won't talk about that. All right. Happy birthday, Cordy. That's awesome. All right. So the answer was Pilot. Great job by Joy. Always glad to hear them. Glad to hear people calling in who text and call and just participate in the show. Let's get to this. I want to make sure we hit this on the as right as we can. So one of the things that we talked about are people that run or people that are, you know, seeking some sort of independence. We did have a brief discussion on fathers knowing when to let go and when not to let go. I'm terrible at this, so I'm certainly not telling you, hey, I have the answers. I just know that the answer always, whether you're the father, whether you're the son seeking to run away, whether you're trying to provide for yourself, whether you're trying to just escape everything, the answer in all of these things in that sense is always going to be the insight to say that you've come to your senses and that you go back to your father. I mean, that is going to be the answer on almost every question that you go through. In almost every situation, it is fair for me to say, and I appreciate the theologians not getting this, but this is the practical stuff. In every situation, it'd be right to say the answer is more of God, because that is the answer in everything. And so the idea of coming back, the whole premise here in Jesus talking about the Father is talking about the Father's disposition. You got the whole story about the other brother who was all upset. You got the one about the running. But look at what the Father is like. Verse 20 says, so he got up, went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And then the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now listen, the son goes right into the routine that he planned on going to. In other words, the son goes, I'm going to go there. I'm going to say, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm awful. And then he gets to his father and he goes, I'm bad, I'm terrible, I'm awful. He goes through the routine, missing that the father... Four things that come from this. Actually, five things. I'm wrong. Five things. He's looking for him. He has compassion towards him. He runs to him. He falls upon him, which is an embrace, and kisses him, which is a deeper embrace. And what we don't get is Jesus is going, this is God. This is where we're like, that's a really cool story. And Jesus is like going, no, this is God. This is what we're not getting. That the Father is looking for us to come to him, back to him and to him. That when he sees us in his mind, in his heart, filled with compassion. That's compassion here, especially in the Greek, has to do with mercy and grace and extension of feeling and all that stuff. Just throw it all in there. You'd be right. And in this story, because it's an earthly father, he runs to him. He falls upon him. You ever see somebody, you know, you see these at the end of the action movies or something. They come at the very end and then they find their loved one and they just fall on them. Oh, just like that. And then he kisses him. The most intimate thing is the embrace and the touch and the face-to-face touch. And that's God. And we keep thinking that when you come before God, we're going to have to bring, you know, sheep and goat and wood and fire. And we, you know, we're going to have to do a sacrifice. And, you know, some people think you got to do a dance. And it's like, okay, the Lord is already more than halfway. So just go. And he's there for you. There's no picture in this where the father goes, I'm sorry, I'm mad at you. This is what you don't see, you know, which speaks volumes. You don't see the father running the list of failures of the son. Oh, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. If God read you the riot list every time you came back to him, he'd still be doing it to you, all of your stuff today. I mean, it'd be going on for hours. Here's the picture of God. Looking for his kid, compassion on his kid, runs to his kid, falls on his kid, kisses his kid. Now, I know that there's all the things you need. People get into the robe and the ring and the sandals, which, by the way, 99% of those things are ridiculous. That wasn't, they didn't even exist. Some of those, you know, the sandals for the take the gospel wherever you go. It's like that was written 35 years after the story. Let's not do that. Let's do this. The Father is just waiting on us to come to our senses and come back to him. And there's no rejection. There's no requirement. You don't have to have a prepared speech. You don't have to go through all the things that you failed in. He knows. He knows. This is what's so powerful about the picture that Jesus draws us for who the Father is. So he knows what he got it. Still loves you. Still looks for you. Still has compassion. Still runs towards you. Still falls on you. Still kisses you. Our perspective tells us we need to have something to bring. God's perspective is you need to bring you. You. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your, you know, people are, well, God needs my money or God needs this or God needs that. He wants your heart. He wants you to come to your senses and come home. And even in the briefest prayer, you as a seasoned Christian, 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, 5 years, you can still say, Lord, I want to have the heart that always says to you, I want to come home. I want to be with my dad. There's just nothing wrong with that. That's how it's supposed to be. And, you know, it's not every moment that you'll talk to God like he's your father in that capacity, but you have to have some. You have to have some of those moments where you get that God is your dad and the best possible dad who will never reject his child. Right? So you go back and he welcomes you and he loves you. That's what you need. It's what I need. It's what we all need. Right? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and everything
he finds. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.